This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Played 10 years in the league. He's doing broadcast work for Fox these days, sideline reporting for the Vikings. Ben Lieber, good enough to join us here on CBS Sports Radio. Ben, Jody Mack here in New York. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Jody. How you doing, man?
Good. As a former player, how much does adding an extra game to the season actually mean to wear and tear on one's body? I know on any given year, if you're dealing with an injury, it's different, but I'm just talking on average over the course of a year, relative health, how much more are you putting your body through to play a 17th game?
Well, you know, it doesn't seem like much, but it's quite a lot, you know, to get yourself ready up there and battle again for another Sunday, and you know, if everything goes through with the new playoff scenarios as well, I think there's going to be a lot more meaningful games at the end of the season, and you're going to be scrapping and clawing, and there, for a lot of teams, I think there's going to be a playoff atmosphere to the last few weeks of the season, and then you got to throw in the extra game. To me, it is physical, for sure, but I don't think people realize the mental health toll it takes on players. You know, it's the emotions and the anxiety and the stress that happens through the course of the season is a lot. It's a lot to handle. You know, I myself would lose, you know, 10 to 12 pounds just during the season just because I had stress and didn't have time to eat as much as I'd like and keep the weight on. And so it all sort of compounds. And so it is difficult just to add that 17th game, especially if they're not going to throw in an extra bye week or some sort of abbreviated bye week to let guys sort of mentally heal as well.
Now, from everything that's been reported, everything I've heard, the owners have been the aggressors. If you have any negotiation, any meeting, one side is a little bit more aggressive than the other. And the owners have been pushing to get this done a year in advance before the old collective bargaining agreement expires. And I think most people reading into it believe that that extra game, 17th game, and in accordance with it, a extra playoff game as well, adding a playoff team, is the reason that they're pushing as hard as they are for this. First of all, do you agree that that's the case? And secondly, why do you think they want to get it done a year in advance?
Well, it's all about money. And, you know, we all know that the TV contracts basically pay for the biggest part of that AR, that all revenue that they keep talking about, which is going to increase under the owner's proposal, about a percent and a half. But the TV deals, that's the meat of all the money. And now they're going to include the streaming rights. And that's the one that I think that everybody sort of hung up on. And I think the owners have an idea of what the streaming rights are going to be, a ballpark figure. But I don't think those numbers have been really shared with the NFLPA. I think the streaming services themselves are having a hard time really trying to monetize how they're going to make money on the advertising in the NFL. So I think there's a lot of just unknowns with the streaming services, but the NFL owners want to get cracking on that as soon as possible, because I think it is going to be an arduous negotiation with whomever they decide to agree with. So that's why they want to get everything done now, so they can go get after those regular TV contracts and the streaming contracts. And you know, the other part of the 17th game deal is, you know, that was that ridiculous contract in there for a per player rate of capping it at $250,000 is just a little ridiculous, given the fact that there are, you know, probably a smaller percentage of players that make more than that per game. And so I don't know why they're trying to cap it when it's a true game. So that's something I think the players are like, wait a minute, this is a regular game. So we should be making our per game rate no matter what.
I agree with you on that one for darn sure, and that might be the sticking point and why they pulled back. Ben Lieber, former NFL linebacker turned broadcaster, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, as a former player, you certainly were involved with the union and got your chance to vote when collective bargaining agreements came up and the like. Give us a little feel for how it works. You know what the issues are. You meet with your player rep from your team. There are conversations you have with those guys, but you also talk to your fellow teammates. I'm guessing your agent gets involved and gets in the ear. You tell the agent what you're hearing. The agent tells you what you think, what he thinks your stance should be. How all-encompassing is that? And do different players handle their responsibility for one vote differently?
Yeah, they really do. It's a great question because it is very layered. You know, when it comes to trying to understand the totality of the CBA, it takes a lot of work. And when you become a player rep, they give you all of these huge packets of information. And there's just no way that you can understand all of it, you know, go through it on your own with a fine-tooth comb and feel like you've got a good grasp on it. It takes a lot of hours, many months, even years to sort of understand the CBA. So you're going to rely on anybody that you can. Other players that are player reps or maybe not player reps, ask guys that your buddies are on the executive committee. You do reach out to your agents just to say, you know, what are some things that I should know? And anybody else, it's just like anything else. If you don't know, find the people that do know and pick their brains about it. I got to tell you, I was a little disenchanted with the process itself. It becomes a little political. You know, the big meeting that we had out in Hawaii, which they don't do anymore, at least at that location, some of the voting process was a little strong-armed. It was not necessarily looked upon as a great thing to be contrarian, to bring up issues and to have these big debates because they're so worried about solidarity. Solidarity is like the number one thing that they kept preaching over and over and over again, where we would sort of just force these unanimous decisions, even though the group of men were actually quite divided.
Right.
So I didn't like that part of it. I thought I was a little disenchanted with that. I'm like, I thought this would be a little bit more democratic. But I think that there's not a lot of time. And so I think in the essence of time, I do understand that you do sometimes have to push these things through. And you have to trust the guys in the executive committee, and you have to trust the Morris that they know what they're doing.
Well, and the funny thing about that is time is a big factor here. It's a factor that shouldn't be a factor because you got more than a year before the collective bargaining agreement comes to an end. Usually they wait till the 11th hour to get these things hammered out. They're trying to do it more than a year in advance. That should tell you something. And if you are going to have unity, this would figure to be one. Guys start to get nervous. Guys start to fight and dig in and take their stances when they're up against the deadline. There's no deadline here. And yet it seems like there's a split at the top, and that's why they walked back away from the offer that the owners were about to put on the table. That sounds like a change from what you're used to. How ugly do you think this could get just amongst the players?
You know, I have this sense that they pulled back because the deal almost, in some ways, almost seems too good to be true. You know, they upped the amount of money for player health. There's now an addendum in there that even former players, they did not increase the 5 years post-football health coverage, but they did throw in free checkups at certain hospitals, expanding the hospital network, giving former players a little bit more free access to some healthcare stuff, which, you know, it's strides, but I don't think as a former player it's big enough. But they're it is kind of a nice little pot. You know, you look at the overall deal and like, yeah, it's not so bad. So I think when they go back and they sit down, and because they have a little bit more time on their side, they're going to say, there's a lot of good things in here. Let's just tweak a few things. Let's ask for a little bit more in this other area and see if the owners bite on that. Because I think the initial offer does seem pretty nice. And I think that's why on the outset, it was like, wow, just sign the deal because this is a sweet deal. But because there is time and they do have a better part of a year, they can really look at this thing in greater detail and say, well, maybe we could squeeze a little bit more money out of this area and this area. And I think both sides are going to come to agreement here pretty soon.
Former NFL player Ben Lieber, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, let's put the negotiation and collective bargaining agreement aside because we're a couple of weeks away from free agency starting. I'm sure the parties would like to get a deal done ahead of time, but if they don't, the season is going to march on. There's a chance we have more activity and more big-name activity in free agent quarterbacks than we've had maybe ever, certainly in years, decades at least. I'm going to throw a couple of major quarterback names at you. Tell me where you think they're going to be playing their football this year. Right. One, Tom Brady.
I think Tom is going to stay right there in New England. You know, it would be fun for him. I mean, it'd be fun for the league. It'd be fun for my position, your position right now, Jody, in the media to speculate on where he's going to go and who's going to go after his services. But I think he's such a smart player and such a smart person that he realizes his best opportunity is right there. I think he's going to leverage his situation a little bit to get some concrete answers on how they're going to build an offense around him for another year or two. Obviously, he's got to be frustrated with the lack of receivers, just the lack of offensive firepower. And if I think that he can leverage his situation into sitting down with them and saying, all right, what's your plan? Who are you going to go after? You know, if we, you know, with this money, are we going to go after this free agent? Are we going to make a trade for certain players on offense? He wants to know exactly where the offense is going to lie, and he's going to use that leverage any way he can. So I do ultimately think that he's going to realize the grass is not always greener. He's made a Hall of Fame career in that one spot, and I think he's going to stay right there in New England.
How about Philip Rivers? Like Brady, a potential Hall of Famer. Brady's a lock Hall of Famer. Rivers is a potential Hall of Famer. Los Angeles, I'll call him San Diego till the day I die. Chargers have let it be known that they're going in a new direction at quarterback. Where's Philip Rivers land?
You know, I would love to see him paired with Matt Rhule in Carolina. I think Matt is going to be a fantastic head coach in the NFL, and I think their personalities would jive really, really well. I do like the idea of him going to Indianapolis, though. I think that would make probably more sense for him just because I think they're more poised to win now than Carolina is. So I see him playing behind that strong offensive line in Indianapolis and throwing the ball around.
Lions have a high draft pick in the first round this year. There are some talented quarterbacks in this year's draft. Are they holding on to Matthew Stafford or moving him and taking a new QB? And if so, where does Stafford land?
That would be that'd be a little sad for me, honestly, being in the NFC North for so many years and him just being so synonymous with Ford Field and those blue jerseys. I have a ton of respect for him. I think he's probably the toughest quarterback, I think, in the NFL, and he
really
doesn't get a lot of credit for it. You know, where does he end up? That's a good question. I'm not sure. Does he end up in Miami? Possibly. Does he end up in Indianapolis? Possibly. I think because that's such a big piece to trade away, it's going to have to be the right situation. And I almost ultimately think that they're not going to get rid of him right now, but they will be drafting a quarterback pretty high and get ready for him to depart and build the franchise with the young guy.
All right, and since you're an admitted Viking guy, do sideline work for the Vikings. Who are they taking in the first round? If you don't have a name, at least give me a probable position. Vikings first round draft pick will be a what?
Well, I think right now it's going to be a cornerback. And this organization under Mike Zimmer has gone cornerback pretty heavy in the draft. Mike Hughes is going to come back even healthier next year. What happens with Xavier Rhodes? I think that's a big question mark going into free agency and going into the draft. He's still under contract, but the last 2 years has not played very well. It does not sound like they're going to sign Trey Waynes back, because the Vikings just don't have any money to spend in free agency to re-sign some players, because it sounds like Anthony Harris is a big-time priority to get him back as a safety. So I think it's going to be corner. There's a guy that I like, Damon Arnett from Ohio State. He's not the best corner on the board, but I think that he's a first-round talent, and I think it sounds like there's going to be a run on three or four corners before the Vikings get to 25. And I think that he's a guy that's going to be there, and he's a feisty. He fits the mold of what Mike Zimmer's looking for when it comes to attitude. He's a ball-hawking type of guy. He's got great footwork, and he's not afraid to tackle. And that's the one thing about Zim's defense is he needs his corners to be men out there on the outside and not just cover guys, but they got to tackle as well in the run game. And I think that he's the type of player, if he's right there, I don't see how you can pass on him.
Sounds like a guy who's already done his work for the draft months in advance. And I wasn't planning on asking you, but you just led me there, and you gave me a great answer. Ben, good stuff. Appreciate you coming on board. We'll talk to you plenty over the course of the season. Thanks for a couple minutes today.
No problem. Sounds great anytime, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.